Breeding Fund meeting Friday, January 19th, 2 p.m. in Schenectady, New York.
Are we ready to get started here?
Sure.
We got a recorder on? All right. For the purposes of our quorum, I am Richard Ball, Commissioner of New York State Department of Ag and Markets, and one of the trustees here on the New York State Horse Breeding and Development Fund. And I am joined by board members Barry Sample, Chairman of the New York State Gaming Commission. Welcome, sir. Mike Kimmelman and Peter Aragena, welcome also. Quorum being present, we can call this meeting to order. And our first order of business is to designate a board member as presiding officer. May I have a motion?
I nominate Commissioner Ball.
He's I'll just too that. Fast. Thank you, sir. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, so carried. Thank you. Before we get on to the agenda, I'd like to make a few remarks. In addition to the members present, Kelly Young, the Executive Director of the Agriculture and New York State Horse Breeding Development Fund, is here. I'd like to pause and ask you to give her a round of applause for taking on this responsibility. We have a great deal of confidence in you, Kelly. We're also joined by Connie Richardson, Brian Squadere, Christy Kalikia, who provides staff support to the fund. Thank you all for being here. In addition, Ron Okram, who is not in the room at the moment, who served as our acting executive director for nearly the past 3 years, is also in the building. And let the record show that we formally thank him for his hard work and service to the fund. He was very good to work with on, from my standpoint and on everyone's, I think. At this point, we'll open the session for public comment. I'm looking over at Alice, wondering if you might have something to say. Alice, we have comments will be limited to 5 minutes. You can do it. You've been practicing for years.
Noticing on your big agenda, I've asked for years for an open roundtable to discussion, because in our industry right now, the horsemen are divided. And there was a letter sent to every breeder in this state, and it was very negative about the trustees. And as a person, a breeder, an owner, growing up in this business, the division amongst the horsemen must stop. And I also have a copy of the response from gaming. It was sent to the members who signed the letter, and half of those didn't receive it either. And this letter was so negative for people that are trying to make change, trying to recognize the problems that our industry has had. Maybe it may not be an appropriate time, but Betty Holt, what you've done to this industry and the division that it has caused with the breeders of this state is wrong. And I would hope that all the horsemen will be able to see in a round table discussion, because for 5 years, I've come before this state, and I'm the only person in this room that has all the internal emails. I also have them from the horsemen. And I didn't appreciate the attack of credibility. The other situation that I have is decisions will be made here over finals, county fairs, this and that, where the people were not fully informed of what is going on. Because I, Alice Allen, took the time to go see people and said that this is a division and no one knows. I'm ashamed how the harness horse breeders and the large breeding farms have treated the middle class. We are the working class and the numbers are the lowest. And in closing, Ms. Swift, I'd like to thank you, your husband, on behalf of the entire industry, for the contributions you have made to our sport. I try desperately to go to your meeting, to sit down and tell you people the truth. See, my father, my grandfather went to school. They knew your husband. But to be manipulated, and our whole industry has been manipulated. And when I leave, and I leave racing, or if Indiana calls me, it will be through the front door. But I will have tried everything in my heart to bring racing back for the truthful and honest people, not the manipulation. I do not want the middle class or any individual to fear coming forward for telling the truth, to say, we need help. I came to your office, Mr. Ball. I said, we need help with drug testing. Things were changed, and you saw the results. We did need that help. We further need that help. But we need the help through the press, through the round table, to end this division before the division is our own ruination. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Thank you. We'll close that part of our agenda and move on to the third part, which is our approval of minutes. We have in front of the trustees the minutes of the regular meeting on December 11th. They are presented for your review and approval. Any comments? They're satisfactory. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Sample. Second?
I second it.
By Mr. Argena. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? So carried. Thank you, gentlemen. Our next item is consideration of 2018 conditions. Members have a markup of proposed conditions for the New York Sire Stakes number 59, which will be for foals of 2017 and the Excelsior Series for 2018 and the County Fair Series for 2018. The fund made several significant changes to these conditions last year, so this year we have only a few minor changes. You'll see that the stakes number and dates have been updated in each condition to be applicable to this year. There is also an updated address to mail staking payments to each condition. Payments should now be sent to New York Sire Stakes, 230 Washington Avenue Extension, Suite 101, Albany, New York, 12203. The only other change is adding a clarification in each set of conditions that payment dates are postmark dates. While the fund has always practiced the rule that payments must be postmarked by the deadline included in the conditions, which is also the practice for the stakes around the country, this change will eliminate any confusion going forward. Additionally, we will update Sire Stakes conditions number 57 and 58 for 2 and 3-year-olds racing this year to reflect the new address for mailing payments. Any other items that we would like to discuss regarding these conditions, gentlemen?
Mike and I were just talking. We're under the assumption, which it is, if you get a positive test, you're out of the finals, which we did last year, had that option. But we also have it. Last year we had the Sire Stakes 3 weeks later that gave time for the drug testing to get done. This year's we're shortening up the schedule because of the complaints from horsemen that they didn't like the idea of racing the finals so late. We're only going to have a week between the last leg and the finals. So there could be the case where you might get a positive test in the last race of the season, the last leg. By the time it gets to the drug testing lab, it gets back, they could have raced in the final, and the final be over with. This happened 2 years ago, or last year, 2 years ago in the county fair final. We ended up having to disqualify the horse. And that's what would happen in this case. But we don't have it written in here. And without Mark Stewart here or Ron, we talked about this. We know that's assuming the rule. But the way everybody's taking us to court and trying to find every little, small item in the conditions, that we don't have it stated, that maybe we want to add that to this, that if you do end up in the finals and the test comes back between the finals are over with and you did get one in one of the legs, you're going to be disqualified. We don't specifically say it, even though that's what would happen under gaming rules. But should we add that?
We have precedent, so it would hold up in court that way. But it would be nice just to be able to say, here's the rule. We don't have to go to court and have the expense of doing so. Mm-hmm. So eventually, Kelly and I, we talked about this earlier today. Without Mark being here, it's kind of hard to tidy it up to have something to vote on to put in these conditions, which are going out like today, right?
Yeah, if I can make a recommendation, it would be to defer this discussion until such time as we can kind of investigate that a little bit more and make a good staff recommendation to the board about how to proceed to address that issue.
Right, so it's more likely than not going to come up in the future.
Yeah, if that's right. Okay.
So we're going to do an amendment that you're going to draft for our next meeting, and will that be in time for...
Not for this year, but I don't think.
It'll
be all right. In accordance with things that we changed, like the detention barn, like the rule last year that this would support, if we will get this done, and then for 2019, it'll be fine.
Does that cause you a problem for this year, or...?
Technically, we should be all right, but it's just not running
yet. I understand.
Yet.
Okay.
It needs to be a little cleaner.
Yeah.
Pete, is it possible to hold the payment up from the finals? We run the finals, but we hold the payment an extra week or two to get.
Well, it's like any other race. You pay everybody out in overnighters, and they disqualify them. They just have to return the money. That's all.
Okay.
But hopefully, by the time the finals go through, by the time the checks are cut, you know, they should have enough time to know if somebody's been.
And the positive tests are really quite rare, but it's just. Yeah. If it was to happen, it's a lot easier to make it clean.
Trying to cover our bases. The other thing, too, is the testing lab will supersede when those nights, they're going to put those tests in ahead of time, so that way they can get done faster than holding up the overnighter. So that'll help, too. But we're just trying to, you know, every year something comes up, we're just trying to cover our bases on every little thing.
And there's a lot of tests related to those horses with the out-of-competition tests and everything else. There's certainly a lot of blood being pulled in those horses prior to the finals.
So. Okay. Kelly, let's make a note to make that an agenda item at our next meeting when we have Mark here.
And also,
any other changes?
Yeah, and the county fairs, Dave Kane called me yesterday. He's been doing the conditions and stuff with harness horse breeders for like the last 20-some years. Mike and I, we talked about this before the meeting. We did have a thing in there where if you draw, sometimes these fairs are on the same days. So sometimes they draw the same day. So we put it in there last year, the year before, where people were dropping in at the same day at two different fairs. Then they sit there and see which one they draw better in, then they scratch out of the other. So we have a provision for that today. But now what he's seen what they've done this past year is they might draw on Monday and draw another day on Tuesday. They'll put in for both fairs. Then they'll see which one they draw better in, and then they'll scratch out of the other one. What probably he's been seeing is some fairs, they end up splitting the divisions because they have so many horses that they split the division in two, and then the day of the race, three or four of them scratch out, and then they end up racing two races with two or three horses in each race instead of a... So he wanted to know if we could put something in there so maybe we could do the same thing for the county fairs. Now, the county fairs, you know, we don't even have a schedule for them yet, so there might be a way with the county fairs where we might be able to come up with some kind of wording from Mark Stewart, how we want to put this in there, you, Kelly, the same thing, and maybe get that done and put in prior to the schedule comes out for the county fairs.
The only problem is, you know, I would hesitate to change the conditions after the February 15th payments are received because that payment is essentially entering into a contract with us.
The language now reads a fair on the same date. They'd be scratched from both. Could we just add in and or consecutive dates?
We could, but remember, some people... will race consecutive dates. We'll actually
if you're
drop
racing
in.
Those dates,
we don't hit,
that's
fine.
It's just the
but
scratch.
When you scratch because you have this horrible problem on Monday, then we're going to assume for the benefit of the horse or whatever else, maybe that problem should be also a big deal on Tuesday, And, you know, by Thursday, okay, they got over it. But the reality is, when they split those races, they create more expense in judging, yeah. testing, everything else, and you're taking that benefit from a larger purse to a smaller purse.
Splitting the purse in half.
And in a product that's hard to sell to the public, so we're showing people that don't know a lot about our business mm-hmm. to start with, a bunch of 1 and 2 horse races, yeah. or walkovers where somebody gets the entire purse, we're really diluting our product. And it's not, if it was an accident, okay, but if it's something that they're regularly doing with intent, we should probably try to stop it.
Okay, I'm just trying to hunt for that.
It's kind of down towards the end.
Do you have a number?
Betty had
something. Yeah, can I
yeah
is
Betty.
Is there any way that you could allow the race secretary to combine a couple races if there's a minimal amount of horses?
Once they've drawn?
Yeah, I mean, if you have... If the race
no,
has been
I think once they've drawn, you're gonna run into some legal troubles, and you know it's like everything else. It's not the people you benefit that are gonna call you and say thank you. It's the guy that you somehow cheated out of money that's gonna call you and sue you. Which is why he can't
I was just
do it.
Curious if
it's a great idea. Yeah. Unfortunately, in the most litigious state in the world, it's a problem. People don't let you help them.
Number 14, you may enter any fare on any given day, but you can only enter one fare on that day. If you enter 2 fares on any given day, you will be scratched from both fares and subject to a fine for not honoring your declaration in addition to both starting fees.
Yeah, we took care of the same day, but now he's seeing yeah. that we're doing back-to-back days.
So do you
really
want to just back-to-back?
When it's written that way, I don't know if you can piggyback in or if you just have to have an A, you know, in addition to it being similarly, if you were to enter a horse on consecutive days and failed to show up for the first day, you would not be allowed to race on the second day and you would get the same fine. I don't know what you do about somebody that would race on the first day and not show up for the second day. That can easily happen because you have a problem. You know, you race the horse the first day, yeah. and guess what? It doesn't feel good.
What about if you have travel delays on the first day? You get stuck in an accident on the throughway, and you can't get to your
fair.
I mean, I'm just tossing it out there as a legitimate reason for missing right. that first day.
That's what I'm saying. This one here needs to have some kind of... Take some time.
It may take another
really
year
to
fix this one.
Would you allow staff to kind of try to figure out the recommendation and
yeah.
bring that back up for next year's conditions?
Yeah. I think that
run
makes
all
sense.
The scenarios. Yeah.
For doing this the day before, it's kind of hard to...
When he talked to you, does this happen a lot? Is it common or...
Dave pays pretty much attention to all this stuff, so, you know, it's happening. It's not like it was just one race or two. I'm sure it was probably 5 or 6 fares he noted this on.
Well, again, let's have those facts.
I think the easiest way to do is put in a hefty fine. It'll stop her. You know, $500 fine for county fair people is it stops them pretty fast for pulling.
Or even like say when you're drafting your language, think about you know if somebody's noticed to be taking advantage of that, they can't enter in a fair for a week.
Or something.
You know, so
but that's something
somehow, some way. You want to make it less palatable to skirt the system.
And I think what I'll do is I'll call Dave and you know explain that we're discussing it, and maybe he might want to this summer he can pay more attention to it and find out how often it's happening. And you know, I think we need to take some time on how to word this. It's not something we can do in 5 minutes. I don't think.
Agreed. So if Mark's not available at the meeting, he'll do some homework.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Any other changes?
Nope.
Thoughts?
Covered everything.
So can we have a motion to adopt the New York Sire Stakes number 59 conditions with the noted conversation?
I make a motion to adopt it.
We have a motion by Peter, second by Mike. Any other discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 And opposed? So carried. And I would ask for a second motion to adopt the Excelsior Series conditions with the same changes noted.
To accept the Excelsior Series conditions.
Thank you, Peter. Well. Thank you, Mike. Any other discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? So carried. And finally, a motion to adopt the County Fair Series conditions with the same changes.
I'll make a motion to approve the County Fair.
Peter?
Second as well.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor signify aye. By saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? And again, so carried. Thank you so much. At this point, we are going to move into an executive session, hopefully briefly.
Do you need a motion?
I would need a motion to that effect. Thank you, Mr. Sample. Second?
I second it.
Peter seconded. You folks can stay comfortable. We will leave the room, and we will return as soon as possible.
Would you like to note that this is for the express purposes of discussing personnel?
We don't have to. We're fine.
Good. Thanks, Kel.